Right.
It is not enough for me to love my wife and not be patient with her.
Mm-hmm.
Or I speak to her easy, but I don't care for her. I buy her the things that she wants, but I don't buy her the things she needs.
Mm-hmm.
I give her the things she wants, but I don't give her the things she needs.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough to just say, well, I'm good at this, so I don't have to be good at that.
Yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Better Than One Marriage Podcast.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop. Week two, episode
yes.
two. I'm Ron.
And I'm Chelsea.
And we're still married. This is 1 week after we were still married last week.
Yes.
Still married this week. I've had thoughts about you that, you know, this ain't it. this ain't it. But... But I've persevered past those, and I've come to realize that, you know, we've at least been together long enough that it's better for me to keep you than to leave you.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right.
not to that one.
Who could ask for more?
No. No, I'm just kidding. I did have a very interesting experience this week at the dentist. Oh, man. How was your week? Before I even get into that, it was traumatizing to me. How was your week?
Interesting. You know, I've been being more honest lately, you know, because people ask you, how are you doing? Or how was your day? Or how was your week? And they really are doing that out of courteousness.
Right.
Courtesy. Yes.
Courtesy. I took both.
But courtesy.
Yes.
They really are doing that out of courtesy, not really to know, you know, because God forbid you're like, hasn't been so great. Then it's like, you know.
I'm in for a
I wasn't
mean
really
talking.
Here for all of that. My week was actually not my best week that I've ever had.
Okay.
But I am blessed.
Yeah, I know. I was busy. Yeah. You are blessed. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, you're more blessed than me. You know, your mouth, nobody was in your mouth, okay? Nobody was in your teeth just scraping mm-hmm. away. You go for a routine cleaning thing. Oh, it's a routine, so it can only be so bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going to the grocery store is, hey, we just go.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the laundromat, you just go. You go to the dentist for a routine procedure, and you may come out with an assault case.
Yes.
Because why are you scraping my teeth like this?
Why this are you hurts. Cutting my gums?
You're cutting my gums on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, yeah, I got to get there. It's like, do you?
And they're trying to have a nice conversation at the same time.
I guess. Are they trying to keep it like lighthearted?
I don't know what the plan
I'm
is
like,
there.
This is not lighthearted. Like, somebody needs to be praying over here.
At least
here.
At the gynecologist, sometimes they'll put naked men on the ceiling.
Okay.
Not totally naked, but they'll have like calendar guys on the ceiling.
That is very
so
funny.
So you can look up at that.
Fireman John.
Yes.
And police officer Rick.
Yes.
That's terrible. We don't have nothing like that. Y'all have
not at the dentist.
No, because the gynecologist is like a lady thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like men don't have a men thing. The only thing the men have is getting their prostate checked, and there is no pleasure.
No,
that
not
can
even.
Be had.
Plus, that would have to be on the floor rather than on the ceiling.
That's even worse. You leaned over the thing. Looking at the floor. Like, yeah, she looks good, but my anus hurts.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Real life, guys.
That is real life.
Yes.
So, you want to do it?
Sure.
You can do it.
Once again, I'm wishing we had a comic book kaboom style announcement, but
keep wishing.
Now we will be moving on to a marriage statistic. Our statistic for today.
Why'd you say it like that?
What?
Why'd you say
I
it like
a news anchor?
Like a news anchor. This is weird.
That's how I felt.
We're podcasters, all right?
That's how
you
I
just
felt.
Say it naturally.
That was me being natural.
No, it wasn't. It was funny. This is natural.
All right, whatever. A major survey of 127,545 American adults found that married men are healthier than men who were never married or whose marriages ended in divorce or widowhood. Men who have marital partners also live longer than men without spouses. The longer a man stays married, the greater his survival advantage over his unmarried peers. I had to swallow, sorry.
Yeah, that's
I'm all hydrated.
It's all good.
That is from Harvard Health Publishing.
Well, I believe it wholeheartedly. Just in general, I think of our dynamic where, you know, there was a time I guess I didn't care at all. Just like, you know, hey, man, McDonald's cheeseburger, that sounds like a wonderful meal to me.
Right.
Vegetable. What? I haven't had a vegetable. Mm-hmm. You know you're doing bad when you haven't had a vegetable in months.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, you know, not months. Not months.
And you can't really recall, like, man, when was the last time I had a salad? And you're just like, nothing. I don't know.
Terrible.
But yeah, like men who have a wife, generally women are healthier and are more concerned with health, mm-hmm. because, at least in my opinion, because they love better. Women love better than men.
I wouldn't say love better. I would say love differently. We're nurturers.
Which by nature is better.
To take care of. To take care of. Rather than to provide for.
To provide for. That's true, because as a man, you can provide and not nurture at all.
Yeah.
But I feel like as a woman, you can't nurture and not have some sort of provision.
I agree.
Yeah, that's why I feel like women loving is better. And therefore, they, you know, say to your husband, hey, man, you know, I feel like you're dying. I feel like you're definitely dying. I feel like that's what's going on. Maybe you should take it easy on the chitlins for breakfast.
For breakfast.
You know, maybe not a rib sandwich every day. You know what I mean?
That's so true.
That is true. That's my first thought about it.
My first thought, well, actually I had two thoughts. One being that laughter is the best medicine and we laugh a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know about every couple, but you and I, we're always cracking jokes. So, you know, that helps. And then my other thought was bachelor pads. Because, like, you'll find 2-year-old pizza under the couch.
Yikes.
Like, I never washed my bedding.
Why you coming at people? Why you coming at people?
You're supposed to wash that?
Really? I didn't think it was washable.
Yes, you are. Dusting.
Yeah, that's definitely not happening.
Like, yeah, I have been sneezing a lot.
That's so crazy because, like, a single man, I literally just said this to you, like, a single man will put up with anything.
Yeah, we just talked about this.
Like, they'll literally be living in an upgraded cardboard box and really think, like, man, this is it.
Like Axel and his friend.
His friend.
We watched The Middle. Yeah. And Axel is the oldest son on The Middle, if anybody hasn't seen it. It's a very funny show. And generally wholesome, so that's a good one. But Axel is the oldest son, and he's in college now on the season that we're on. And he has a friend, and they're going to be getting an apartment instead of a dorm room. And his friend finds a couch on the street and it's busted and dirty, like obviously visibly dirty. And I'm like, and it has to smell, you know, like you could just smell it through the screen. Like it looks smelly.
Yikes.
And he's like, I found a couch for us for our new apartment.
Beautiful piece of furniture.
And then Axel comes. Yes, it is.
in complete agreement.
Like no issues.
Where did you find this?
Let's
thing?
Haul this off before somebody else takes it. It's like, first of all, no one else is taking this couch.
Yes.
Except for another college student with a bachelor pad.
Yes. You know, my second thought was that men are very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And this is goofy, but, you know, I can just imagine like an old married couple that's super bickery. And he's just like, I'm just going to outlive you, woman. Just so I can have 2 years not hearing your mouth.
That's hilarious.
And then he still just dies before her anyway. Like you can't
make it.
Can't outlive women. And that's not to put light on people who have.
Mm-hmm.
But in a joking way, it's like I can see a old cantankerous man just
to prove you wrong.
Ethel.
I can eat chitlins for breakfast.
I can eat hand me that chitlin. Hand me that bowl. fried chitlins. Yikes.
That's too funny.
Well, yeah, I do think that you have probably prolonged my life more than I'll know in this moment. Mm. Just
prayerfully.
Yeah, just general health, safety, standards, you know, sleeping in things that make sense. Hey, be safe. Maybe you're driving a little fast. That's you. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're driving a little fast there, Ron. I'm like, what do you mean? You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, praise God.
Yeah, praise God.
I think you're extending my life in happiness.
Yes, happiness
and laughter.
And pleasures.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
They say that's good for you, you know.
I mean, they do.
Having orgasms and climaxing is good for brain activity and
endorphins and
yes,
like sleep and a lot of stuff.
Yes, and yeah. In old general life,
mm-hmm.
You know, it can't hurt you.
It can't hurt. Yes. It definitely is helpful.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
As are you.
That's only for women. It does nothing for men. It kills us faster.
That's not true.
No, I'm just kidding. Very good.
Very good.
All right. So we're coming back to commitment, everybody, because we want to, you know, the reason why we even started the podcast was to be able to pour out whatever it is that we have and to be able to nourish or feed whoever is in need. You know, I believe that the power of the Lord is able to point people in the direction that they need to go. As many times, you open up YouTube, you open up Facebook, and you'll see a video or something that's speaking right to what you needed to hear. And I feel like this will be no different than that. So we're sticking with the themes, commitment, so that we can kind of drive the point home to be committed.
Amen.
And let's read the definition again. The state or quality of being dedicated to a cause, activity, etc. And B, an engagement or obligation that restricts freedom of action. And we wanted to focus on the second definition.
Yeah.
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 Because we've been committed to many things, and we haven't always thought about it in a manner that is on the withdrawn side, as opposed to, you know, the side where you're doing something, as opposed to the side where you're not doing something.
Yeah.
And restricting your movement. I have a commitment, just as you would think about, I have a commitment to be here, therefore I can't be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a commitment to my wife, therefore I can't be committed to other women.
Mm-hmm.
Commitment to my children, I can't raise another family in another town. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. In another town.
Well,
that just sounded funny.
These days, you know, back in the day, you know, there was no Facebook.
Papa was,
you know,
a rolling,
yeah, stone. He could really roll. You know, you roll 10 miles that way. Hey, I don't know where my father is.
Terrible.
With his other family, it's a little harder to get that off these days. You know, I'm working on it, but it's hard to get it off.
Right. Hilarious. Yeah, and commitment is. Just to say it in a more point-worthy way, commitment is not only related to what we do, but also what we don't do.
Yeah.
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 Just to summarize, you know, because I agree that, you know, we're always like, I'm committed. You can tell because I showed up on time and because I did this and because I did that. It's all what I did, what I did, what I did.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell I'm committed, right? Mm-hmm. You know, but if at the same time, but you won't stop smoking cigarettes in the house and I have asthma.
My Lord.
But you won't stop traveling on the weekends without the rest of your family and we miss you. But you won't stop, you know, shopping too much and hiding clothes in the back of the closet when we're on a budget.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, it's like, funny. So you do all, she cooks me breakfast in the morning and she lays my clothes out for me and irons them. And, you know, I come home and there's dinner and she takes care of the kids, but she keeps spending all the money. Mm-hmm. And I keep telling her that's not good for our budget.
You know, yeah, that's crazy because when we get to the scripture, I was reading about it, and I'll bring that back up.
Mm.
But here we have the first point is, what was the examples that you saw of commitment growing up?
Right.
And as soon as you said that, the first thing I thought of was really my father.
Mm-hmm.
And how he was very consistent. This is a guy, you know, worked at at a regular job for 40, over 40 years. Talk about, you know, maybe missed a couple of days
Your
of work.
Your mom literally just told me earlier today he missed one day of work.
One day of work.
And it was because he sprained his ankle and she made him.
And she made him. Literally. Like, that's the... That was my example, especially as a man, because here's the truth. My mother is, well, her commitment is different because she'll change her mind in a minute and just be like, hey, I don't feel like doing that. But that's with things that are like, that don't matter.
Yeah.
With things that matter, I know I can depend on either one of them, you know, like life or death. I can trust them. But just seeing that commitment, and this goes towards, more of the positive or the doing side of commitment, where even my grandmother, now that she's up in age, literally my father takes her breakfast, what, every day that my mother cooks. My mother cooks her breakfast every day. Of course, they just moved, but when they weren't moving, cooks her breakfast every day, and he takes it over there as Bible study with her every day. I believe every day except Sunday because they got to go to church. But every day, don't miss no days. Like, that's the theme of my upbringing, to where my commitment level is really is very similar, because I feel the same way, and I never, you know, related the two, where it's like, you know, this is your father. He don't miss no days of work. I'm the same. They can tell you, like, I don't be out here just, hey, I didn't feel like it. Like, what does that have to do with it? I don't understand. What do you mean?
And that's just such a beneficial intrinsic trait to have. Yeah. Like, you... have that in you. You didn't have to work up to it. It's just, oh, this is what you're supposed to be as a person. and that's what I am. You know, I feel like there's a lot of people that have to work up to that, especially if you did not see that growing up.
Right.
You know, like, you have to, I feel like it's much harder to learn that and to discipline yourself to become that way than it is. Well, you know, habits are easier to make than to break.
Right.
You know, so if you already had a habit of, okay, I'm dependable, I'm consistent, you know, I'm not wishy-washy, I'm like, you know, all of that. Or you can have the habit of, that's the best way for me to say it. and if you have that habit and you're trying to break that, that's, I feel like that's so much harder to do.
Yeah, praise God for good examples of things in your life. And I probably don't even appreciate it. And I come to realize, you know, I probably always wasn't that way. I couldn't have been. Because there's some...
Yeah.
I couldn't. Because when you're young, even though late in the high school, and maybe even early in the high school, I think by that time, you know, like, they weren't waking me up to go to school or anything. Like, I was just, you know, I'd set an alarm. It went off. I got up. Go to school. I didn't mean to bring up a sore spot.
It was not a sore spot. It's hilarious, really. It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. You over there doing your thing.
Oh, yeah. Like, I saw one of my old high school friends, bestie of mine, the other day, and he was just cracking up laughing because another friend of ours, my childhood friend, who we also went to high school with, she would always look at the clock. She'd be like, "Up, it's almost lunchtime. She's not coming."
That's terrible.
I would be late for school every day my senior year, like almost every day. I feel like I don't even, because I almost didn't graduate. Like, the day of graduation, I didn't know that we had to go to school and sign in first before going to where we were having our graduation at. And I was literally getting frantic phone calls from several friends like, "Chelsea, you are not going to get to walk if you do not go sign into school. I'm dilly dallying. Terrible. Like, I'm going to be on time for my graduation, though." That's showed terrible. Up at my school in pajamas and a haired scarf. Like, oh, my gosh.
Struggling.
Yeah, it was bad.
So that's the question, is what causes that to where when you grow up, like, what is the root of just me just being like, you know what, I'm gonna just be late?
Well, to be honest, see, if you were late to school all the time, I'm pretty sure your parents wouldn't have tolerated that. You know, so it's like you were doing it, but I'm pretty sure you knew somewhere in the back of your mind that you had to.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Like, no shade. No shade.
No shade. It is what
to
it is.
My lovely parent. But, you know, I was just doing my own thing. Like,
I'm doing my own thing.
Because I remember one time I got suspended because I was, you know, lateness is equal absences.
Yeah.
And one time I got out the shower, thought I was putting on my school uniform, and they called my mom and was like, she's suspended today. And my mom just came and was like, "All right, well, they just called and said you're suspended." And I'm like, oh, what for?
First of all, let's park there and just dissect that raggedy statement. Why? What? How could this ever possibly be?
I didn't realize it led to suspension. Like, I had detentions. I didn't realize it led to suspension. Yes,
true truant.
Yeah, it was bad. yeah, but, like, I didn't get in any trouble.
Terrible.
She just told me I was suspended, and I was like, oh, man.
Just went on by.
And then I was home.
Home hanging out. Oh, man.
No, God bless her, but she's just not the disciplinarian type. Yeah. So I think that that has a lot to do with it. But back to what we were talking about, examples that I saw growing up of commitment. The shortest thing for me to say, because I've already done a lot of storytelling, is that both of my parents married multiple times. Mm-hmm. Both of my natural parents and my bonus parent, they all married several times, and my mom is now a widow, so her last marriage did not end in divorce, but previous ones did. And then both of my other parents, both of their marriages, I think for my dad it was 3, ended in divorce, and then for my bonus mom, 2.
Oh, you said your dad was married 3 times?
He was, because remember his high school sweetheart.
Oh, man.
Miss Evelina.
Oh, well, right, because I know 2 of them, right. I'll be forgetting that your stepmother.
Yeah, so.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Because they're so, you know, close, it's like I don't even think about it.
Yeah, my stepmom, it's like there's no step. That's just my mom. Love her.
Have mercy. That's a lot. That's sad. I mean, that's part of the reason why we're doing the podcast, whoever's listening, is that we want people to get married and stay married.
I do want to just be careful to say that there are instances in which, you know, it's not like there weren't serious issues going on.
Sure.
You know, I'm not going to get into all that, but there were serious issues going on that led to, and some was infidelity, you know, which the Bible even speaks on. You know, if there's infidelity, you actually have a right, you know, but the Bible doesn't directly say a lot of things. There's a lot of things that you can take the principles and apply them to a situation. And, you know, divorce can be hairy with, like, Christians agreeing on what warrants divorce and what doesn't. But I do just want to go on the record of saying that all of the marriages ended because of serious issues. It wasn't just light.
It wasn't irreconcilable.
You just get on my nerves. Yeah. I'm just sick of you. I just want to move on. It was issues, you know.
Yeah, we want to have depth to irreconcilable differences.
Mm-hmm.
We want people to be just as God would. He wants you to be equally yoked. And I think that's a blessing. That can be hard.
Mm-hmm.
But going into the marriage with a foot up as opposed to, you know, a foot missing, so to speak, is the best thing, you know, you can start with, because marriage is unnatural.
Yeah.
You know, it's unnatural for me to I live my life. Well, you live your life for God first, but in living your life for God, you naturally live your life for others with a primary focus on your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Where most important person, you know, God is really, he's on his own level.
Mm-hmm.
Love the Lord your God, you know, in a different, just with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength.
Mm-hmm.
That's different. He never said that about people.
Mm-hmm.
He said that about himself.
Yeah.
Love me more than anybody. But, you know, then the way you love your husbands, love your wife, the way I love the church.
Yeah.
Right? Heavy. That was Jesus Christ saying, the way I loved you, love your wife, which is completely unnatural. It's like, what do you mean? Because self-preservation is what one of the, is like a human law or whatever, is that we do for ourselves based off of being able to survive.
And Lord knows that's our culture.
Right.
But that's because that's the flesh. You know,
that's
if you're just operating in your own nature, in our sinful fleshly nature, that's what we do.
That's what we
do. But you have to put off.
Hey.
Okay. You have to put off the old man, or you know, and put on the new man,
right?
And which is walking in the spirit, so you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. But that's a choice. It's a deliberate choice. Walking in the spirit. It's right. Deliberate.
Just like clothes. You get up in the morning mm-hmm. and what am I going to wear today? Mm-hmm. That's the putting off and putting on. Like, mm-hmm. What am I going to put on? Am I going to put on loving my wife today? Mm-hmm. Or am I going to put on, I'm going to do what pleases me? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to put on loving my children.
Right.
Have mercy. Or am I just going to ignore these big head children?
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. But that's, as far as examples, that's great. So let's ask the question, what are you actually committed to? And this is me to you.
That's and you to me. I definitely was about to say, you go first.
How dare you?
What am I committed to? I mean, it's a shame because sometimes I wonder, like, if this is good or bad. Mm-hmm. But, like, everything with me always goes back to the kids. But I feel like that's just because that's what I'm doing. Like, they are my
focus
and vocation even in this season of my life. So
And calling. You are a youth person.
I mean, that's true. That is true. The Lord has definitely called me to work with kids. But, yeah, I'm definitely committed to my children to where there's a lot of things I don't do because I'm like we have agreed to homeschool. So I'm homeschooling our 6-year-old daughter. She just finished first grade. And we have a 2-year-old son who he has like some developmental delays. So he has therapy and I have to be, well, we, but, you know, but I'm the one who's always here, so it's mostly me, you know, making sure that I'm following through with all the things that therapists are recommending and everything for him, for his development, and I'm definitely committed to them and to that because, you know, people ask me all the time, like, oh, you don't ever want to have some you time? You don't ever want to, like, what are your hobbies? What are your interests? What are your... You know, like, mm-hmm. get away. You've earned it. You deserve it.
You do.
And, you know, well, praise God. And that's the thing. There does need to be balance. And I think that sometimes as parents, we can lean toward totally neglecting ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's not good either because you can't pour from an empty cup, you know. So it's like you don't want to just totally drain yourself. But at the same time, mm-hmm. you have my mother-in-law just talked about this. We just talked about this earlier today. That when you have kids, it is about your kids. It's not about you. It's not because they're total dependents.
Right.
Like they are dependents. They cannot feed themselves. They can't cook. They can't clean. They can't wash themselves. They can't put on their own clothes for a long time. You know, it's like they literally are looking to you for everything. They can't educate themselves.
No.
You know, and it wouldn't be fair to bring them in the world and be like, ooh, but I'm tired or, you know, but I just feel like doing something else. I need a change. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you need a change, but hey, I'm still here and I still need you.
Yeah, what type of change you talking about, Mom? Hold on, let's talk about this. Because there's times you need breaks, you know.
Yeah.
That's obvious, but it depends on what type of breaking you're trying to do.
Right.
You know, because you do, and that's a shame, you do deserve time to yourself and rest. Mm-hmm. It can be hard to do it, but once again, coming back to your commitment, it's like once you have children, you have to be committed to them just as well.
Yeah.
You know, and they're almost worse because just like you said, they're children, they're completely dependent. Like if you don't feed them, they might starve.
Yeah.
I hope Corey would, you know, God forbid something happened to us and we just don't come home. I mean, that's a ridiculous notion, but
yeah,
because she's sick. Somebody would be here anyway.
Yeah.
But if nobody was, it's like, I hope she would eventually go into the fridge and try to figure something out. But I don't know.
And that might end tragically because she might just hand JJ a slice of bread and he stuff his mouth with it. Stuff it
here. Let's eat this, you know, jar of relish or something crazy. They're dependent on us. So our commitment to them has to be just as strong. Mm-hmm. So you are committed to, I mean, that's obvious to children. I know that.
That's the first thing that comes to mind is all.
Yeah. And I think I am committed to trying. Because I believe that a marriage doesn't really die until someone says, you know what? I'm done trying. Mm-hmm. Somebody says, like, I know it's hard, and it can be hard, even though our experience, in my opinion, hasn't been difficulty. It's been more easy than it has been hard.
I agree.
But everybody's experience is not like that. Mm-hmm. That's evident just based off of the, you know, just the marriage percentages, you know, more or less half of marriages aren't going to succeed. We pray to help that going forward.
Yeah.
But it has to come from difficulties. Nobody's like, hey, I just love this marriage, but we should get a divorce.
Right.
You know, they're coming from the standpoint, this is too difficult. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of trying to figure you out. I'm tired of you not giving me none. I'm tired of having to, you know, split finances. I'm tired of having to travel. I'm tired of this. And they just say, you know what? I'm done trying.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's probably my biggest commitment to you and to the family is to keep trying, not to give up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I pray the Lord give me strength.
Amen. Yeah, nothing but the grace of God. Because even the fact that our marriage has not been more difficult, you know, do we have difficulties? Absolutely. But has our overall marriage been difficult? I would not say so.
I don't think so.
We have never had any large issues to where it's like, we aren't going to, like, I never had the thought, oh no, we might not make it through this, or I can't do this anymore. I've never had that thought.
Right.
And I feel for people who do, but
yeah,
I think that when you mentioned a little while ago being equally yoked, that's big. Mm-hmm. Like, and I feel like that's like the biggest precursor to your marriage not being, because it's not by might or by power, but by His Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You know, so like, we're not able to be unselfish, and we are not able to love unlovable people, and we are not able to forgive terrible offenses. You know, love covers a multitude of sins.
It does.
But how are you going to have? That's the love of God,
right?
That's not our love.
Correct. Right.
That's God's love. That's agape love.
Right.
You know, we don't have that without the Holy Spirit.
Sure enough.
We're not able to love at that level without God's help. So it's like, you know, I really feel like the biggest thing here is please just make sure you're equally yoked with a believer in Jesus Christ, because at least there's a foundation there of like, even if you're not like mature in Christ, at least there's like a seeking, you know, like just make sure it's somebody who has a prayer life and who maybe is just trying to start reading the word or go to church or something, like at least, you know, because then God, it's not us. It's no good of our own. It's God, literally.
Yeah.
What you see?
None.
Oh.
I was making sure you was good in your mic.
I'm only
making sure you're in it good.
Oh, can y'all hear me? All right. I hope so.
Can you hear me out there? But yeah. And we wanna, this is also, that's another reason that I believe we started the podcast, is that we want people to know like marriage is not all bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that there are marriages where people are genuinely happy and, you know, have had minimal hard times. Now, I believe the hard times we've had, they're very minimal, but they could have been worse without the Lord.
Yeah.
But with the Lord, it's like, you know, they don't even seem like it. I've told you, like, you've brung up stuff. Your memory is a little sharper than mine. but you've brung up stuff that I'm like, I don't even remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were sore spots for you because, you know, sometimes they were a little more offensive.
I'm more sensitive, so there's more times that I've been offended than you.
Yes, you've been offended.
You're not very sensitive in that way.
Yeah, in that way, I guess.
In that way. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there's so much good in marriage, and it's very rich. Literally, two are literally better than one.
Yeah.
Because if one falls, you know, you have somebody there to pick you up. I'm your pickup.
Yeah.
You want to pick me up?
literally.
I'm a little pick me up. You start calling me that. so, and now we come to the second portion of the definition of the things that you are kept from. It says, well, what have you uncommitted from?
Mm-hmm. You go first on this one.
You want to go first? Well, I am delivered from pornography.
Mm-hmm.
I am not free, but I am delivered.
Amen.
And that may be news to some, but it's the truth nonetheless, you know. And actually,
and very common as well.
Yeah, it's very common. And it's common in the church, it's common in the world. It's easy to fall into. And I'm reminded of the dentist, and I'm sitting there thinking about it like it's just like it. Here you have teeth that need to be cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do anything for them to get dirty.
Right.
The plaque and tartar, it'll build up naturally. You can, and it's just like pornography. You can watch it. You can get involved in it. It takes almost nothing. Especially mm-hmm. now, you can just look on your phone.
It's so accessible.
It's so accessible. It takes nothing. But trying to get out of that
mm-hmm.
and get that stuff off your, get that stuff up off your teeth, it's gonna hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the pain. And I actually thought about it. It's like, and it's not just pornography. You know what I mean? It's what it represents in our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And just that. It's like a discord that just knowing that somebody's what I'm doing is how it makes you feel, how it makes God feel. It's easy to kind of disrespect God because he's a loving God and you know, we kind of just take him for granted.
Right.
It's a little harder to have your wife or vice versa, your husband,
mm-hmm.
not as common, but you know, still
mm-hmm.
your husband looking at you and they feel a type of way based off of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. First of all, knowing that it's not of God. And then they have the way they feel about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But praise be to God, you know what I mean, for delivering me from it.
Mm-hmm.
And just being committed to not doing things that I know hurt you. Right?
Yeah.
So I had to
uncommit. Like you said, trying.
Right?
You trying. Know, always trying, just striving.
Striving, you know, and trying to remain humble.
But
not striving. Please. Yeah, not perfect in any mm-hmm. means, but at the end of the day, having to still say, you know what, in my commitment to my wife, I'm unhooking from that.
Yeah.
I'm unhooking from obviously, you know, any other women or things that are flesh, are flesh pleasing. That's really all they are.
Mm-hmm.
Things, you know, either the lust of the eye, the things you know, lust of the flesh, pride of life,
mm-hmm.
unhooking from that worldly side in commitment to my wife.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Very good stuff. For me, I'm thinking of the fact that when we first met, we were in a music studio.
Sure enough.
And I was quite committed to music. That is something I was very committed to. I love music. I always sung, always wrote songs and poems and all that type of stuff. And I was in the studio working on an album. And my husband is a musician, and I met him in the studio. But I used to be there late nights, really sometimes not arriving until 1 a.m. or something like
shout
that.
Shout out to Dave Adams.
Yeah, shout out to Dave. That was not always by choice, but, you know, like literally all-nighters, you know, go home and the sun is coming up, you know, and then I would like put a blanket over my window to darken it like I'm about to sleep all day and go back tomorrow night mm-hmm. and do it again because I want to get this project done, mm-hmm. you know, like I'm committed to this, so yeah. It doesn't matter, you know, and it wouldn't even like phase me. It didn't even like upset me or anything. I wouldn't be like, oh man,
mm-hmm.
I gotta stay up again. I would be like, yes, I'm going back to the studio. It's interesting, your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Perspective really plays a big part in everything, I think. But anyway, I also was singing. I was directing a choir at one church, singing in two other groups. Three other groups? I don't know. I was doing a lot of singing and several. Directing and recording. Like that was my whole life. So, but then we got together and probably about like 2 months in, I know like a month in we were saying, I love you. Like 2 months in, we were already like, yeah, when we get married, you know, like it was pretty early on. We were just like, yeah, because we're not playing. And that was like one of our, we'll tell our story another time, but that was one of our like things when we first started talking, like, what are your intentions? You know, neither one of us were like, let's date around for fun. That wasn't our intention. So, you know, but we were dating. It was going well. We're like, we're definitely getting married. You know, that's the plan.
Obviously. I mean,
obviously.
You don't take this ring now or not.
So, you know, I just had a random memory. I'm going to tell you later. But anyway, so.
Not at all. Definitely be forgot.
No, I'm going to remember.
Okay.
But anyway, we got more serious and everything. But at the same time, like, I wound up joining his father's church, my father-in-law's church. And I really was like getting more serious about my walk with the Lord. And I was right before I met you, like really kind of rededicating myself. And And I just really started feeling, especially with certain things that happened with my upbringing, that I wanted to be very present when we have kids. I always wanted kids. I love kids. And I used to joke around and be like, I'm going to have 12. But like, you know, I always wanted a bunch of kids and I wanted to be home with them. And, you know, and I wanted to be like a good wife to my husband. And I know that not everybody's called to the same family structure or whatever, but I definitely, like, the traditional wife thing was appealing to me. And I kind of was just feeling personally called to it to a degree. And so I totally switched up because I'm like, if I'm Beyonce, my kids are going to be on the road. No, real life though, real talk. Like, I was just like, oh, well, if I'm, you know, always like, even in the groups I was in, we're always, this weekend we're in Baltimore, we're in New York, we're over here, we're over there. And it's like 9 o'clock at night. And I'm like, if I have a husband and kids at home, how is this going to work? You know? And I'm like, this is low key. I'm not even a celebrity. Like, God forbid I actually make it. And I was doing secular music at the time. So that's like a whole different extent than gospel. You know, so I'm just like, literally, like, I'm going to be Beyonce. That was my thought process. So I'm like, well, if I'm going to be Beyonce, how? So, but literally, I uncommitted to all of that because I was like, okay, I need a new plan. And the Lord really started, you know, revealing to me that I was called to work with kids. I found out about, you know, toddler music and movement programs like Mommy and Me. And my whole mindset shifted to, when we have kids, how am I going to, and when we are married, when we have a family, how am I going to be available to my family and be my own boss and be in charge of when I work? Mm-hmm. You know, and like, am I going to be able to bring my kids with me? You know, all of those types of things. And, you know, so I literally just totally switched tracks.
Yeah. Well, it's time to wrap it up. I see we're getting there. So we want to read the scripture. Or could you read the scripture? And
I'm did you read the
first
all of them?
One. Okay. Just read the first one.
All right. Please. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27 says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified.
See, and I read it. I actually read the chapter just to look at. Well, obviously, I mean, just in preparation. Praise God. But then I looked at 24, and I started there, and it says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Mm-hmm. Run in such a way that you may obtain it." And when it comes to just, and that's referring to Christianity, meaning, you know, your walk with God the Father is not supposed to be something that you approach with a laissez-faire, humdrum sort of approach. You know, don't run the race as if like, well, you know, I'll just be glad to finish.
Yeah.
Saying no, like, run in a way that you want to win. You should be striving, striving for things of a better nature. I shouldn't be stuck in pornography. I should be striving to be completely free from it.
Yeah.
I should be striving to love my wife the way Christ loved the church, not to just like her or not to just, you know, be around a little bit, not to be somewhat passionate, but to literally, like, no, love her in a way that other people can see, like, man, he really loves his wife. Oh, man, he's really doing what the Lord would have him to do, right? And 25, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. The imperishable crown being
eternal
life, salvation, but being temperate in all things. See, and even Eric Thomas and them guys used to say this, is that, what does they say? I haven't listened to them in a long time, but kind of saying 120, meaning like 100% plus 20, like 120%, meaning it's not enough for me to be phenomenal. And he's a speaker. Not enough for him to be a phenomenal speaker and his wife don't love him. Right? It's not enough for him to be a phenomenal speaker and his children don't have a relationship with him.
Yeah.
The one who is running is temperate in all things. It means that they restrain themselves from doing certain things. Just as the commitment would say, there's certain things I don't do in an effort to obtain the prize. And subsequently, there's going to be things that they do specifically in order to obtain the prize.
Right.
It is not enough for me to love my wife and not be patient with her. Mm-hmm. Or I speak to her easy, but I don't care for her. I buy her the things that she wants, but I don't buy her the things she needs. Mm-hmm. I give her the things she wants, but I don't give her the things she needs. Mm-hmm. It's not enough to just say, well, I'm good at this, so I don't have to be good at that.
Yeah.
This is saying, no, temper in all things. Show restraint and show commitment in all things that you do concerning your walk with the Lord and specifically your walk with the spouse, right? Because my walk with him is like a mirror image of my walk with you.
Yeah.
So it's not enough, you know, to be in the middle somewhere.
Yeah, and the fact that those verses lead up to I discipline
right.
my body. It's a discipline. I train it
right.
to do what it should. And I'm even thinking about what I said earlier, and I'll say it very quickly, with, you know, when you built certain habits that are other than what you need to be doing, it's like you said, it hurts with the teeth and everything. Right. Like, it's a discipline. You have to train yourself to do what you should do because we automatically are doing what we shouldn't.
Right. And it can be tough. And I just like those phrases, discipline, training.
Yeah.
It's and Myron Golden was talking about the difference between training and teaching is that training is something you do without thinking about it and you obey completely and entirely. Mm-hmm. And once something starts getting taught, you start teaching the reasons behind it. But when you're in training, you want it to become second nature, mm-hmm. right? If I'm training myself to do something for my wife, I don't need to start thinking about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then this isn't an issue for me, but it's like if I have a problem going straight home and she needs me to come straight home, I need to just train myself, go straight home.
Yeah.
If there's something I needed to do, you need to find another time to do it. Not right after work. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If she wants to spend time every night, train yourself. Don't start thinking about it and trying to, well, what's the reason behind it? No, that's right. What she needs. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. And get into that training mode and develop that discipline. And eventually you obtain the prize.
Amen.
And what is the prize on this show is a fruitful, loving marriage that honors God.
Yeah. And the thing is, God created marriage and he created it to be a blessing to us.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtaineth favor with the Lord. Like it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a blessing. It's beneficial.
Right.
You know, and going back to our marriage, that it's beneficial.
Right.
Like you're about to live longer.
Yes.
Because you're healthier. Yeah. Like, and not just physically. Yeah. You know, and if you read that article, it talks about like how emotionally and everything, like there's benefits, not just physically, not just because she cooks you some kale, you know,
right.
But because you're being loved.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So that's our conclusion for today. We encourage you to observe your patterns, your life behaviors, and see where your commitment may be lacking. You know, applaud yourself for where it may be good.
Amen.
But we don't want to allow anything. Be temperate in all things. Be restrained. Be committed in all things so that the prize can be won for the sake of your marriage, for the sake of your walk with the Lord, for the sake of you, for the sake of him, for the sake of her and him and her and him. Amen. Amen.
Do we have 1 minute?
Yeah.
Okay, because the McGirts, when we were in premarital counseling, they were saying that, because I think what we're saying can be kind of difficult for people because they're like, what about me? Mm-hmm. but if your husband is, you know, if my husband is taking care of me and I'm taking care of my husband, we're both taken care of.
Right.
You know, but it has to go both ways. Mm-hmm. So.
And it won't be perfect.
And it won't be.
They say with the 80-20, you'll get 80% of mm-hmm. what you want out of a marriage, or matter of fact, need out of a marriage. But truth be told, I mean, some days it may not be that.
Yeah.
Some days you may not get anything you needed. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Just mm-hmm. stay in the fight. You stay committed. And especially if you're the man. Because typically, I truly believe women are just a better species than men.
He says it all the time.
And that they are just naturally just better people, in my opinion. But she generally won't give you something that you're not giving to her. You're giving her love and affection, care and commitment. I mean, 99 times out of 100, she'll give it right back to you. Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to have a fruitful marriage.
Yeah, and trust God with the rest.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all for joining. See us next week. We love you. Hope you love us back. All right.
God bless.